to Non-Native, the podcast that shares conversations between immigrants, expats, and interlopers. My name is Sarah, and in November 2014, I up sticks from Bristol in the United Kingdom to move to the west coast of the United States. Moving meant leaving behind friends, family, and the country I'd lived in my whole life for the promise of new experiences, meeting new people, and adapting to a new culture. In Non-Native, I speak with women who have moved around the world in pursuit of love, work, happiness, or adventure. Hello, and welcome back. In this episode of Non-Native, I chat with my good friend Leonie, a fellow British expat who has lived in Indiana and Utah in the United States, and now Dublin, Ireland, where she's raising her young family. Leonie and I only get to see each other very occasionally now, but we were lucky enough to have her stay with us in February for a couple of nights on the way back from visiting family in New Zealand, which is when this interview was recorded. Just a note on the sound quality in this episode. Leonie and I sat down to chat first thing in the morning before her children woke up, which is why it's a little quiet at the start of the interview. It was also a particularly busy morning in my neighbourhood, so there's a bit of traffic noise in the background, but bear with us, it gets better. Thanks and enjoy listening. Hi Leonie, welcome to Non-Native.
Hi Sarah, thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining me. Let's jump straight in. Leonie, you have moved about quite a fair bit from the UK to America, and now you're in Dublin in Ireland. And I was just wondering if you could tell me why and how you ended up there.
Yes, no, we have moved a little bit now. Yeah, it's quite strange. We are now in Dublin. It's lovely. We moved, let me think, about 4 and a bit years ago. We made our first move, which I guess is probably, yeah, I think about it is all lumped together in many ways. So we moved out to the US. We moved to Indiana, and then we moved to Salt Lake City, and then we moved to Dublin, which when I say it sounds like a lot. Gosh, we thought about moving probably a couple of years before then in a very abstract form, and it kind of became a reality. We sort of started exploring options and opportunities and talking about maybe we could move somewhere different and uproot our lives and do something completely different. And I guess I always thought about it in a very abstract form and didn't really think much about it and in reality of what that would actually look like. And it was really come about, I guess, with my husband Kim's work, his job. So he's from New Zealand, so he'd already moved internationally to the other side of the world. So for him, where we were living in England, he'd already left home. For him, it was already, where's my next step? Where shall I move to next? And he wasn't leaving his home. He'd already done that. So I think for him, he was very much, okay, let's go somewhere else. This could be exciting. This could be fun. And we kind of had a really happy, content life. And I think we kind of thought, if we don't go now, we'll never leave our beautiful little village that we were very settled in. And we will be here forever. So we were like, right, let's just throw that on its head and go somewhere. So the opportunity came up for his work and we thought, let's take it. And that's how we first moved to the US.
I feel like that was quite a stealth move because I remember we moved to the States about 6 months after you.
Yes.
And I feel like we kind of told everyone, like, this is what we want to do. This is what we're trying to do. And for you guys, I feel like it almost felt like a surprise. It was kind of like, oh, by the way, Kim's got a new job. See ya, we're off.
It happened very quickly. It's funny actually, because I think we talked to people about that we were considering it and that it could happen. So I remember having some conversations at the time. I belonged to a hockey club, and I had previously been a captain and was coaching, was quite involved with them. And I had a whole season where I'd kind of said at the beginning, guys, there's a possibility we might move. So I'm not taking on as much responsibility. And then that year we didn't, we were still there. And it kind of felt that we were in this weird limbo. We might go, but we might not. And then the next year we kind of went mid-season. But it kind of, we were quite settled. And then we'd been away and we actually got engaged. And then about a week later, Kim had heard that he'd been offered this job, and we were like, oh, let's take it. And we came back from holidays, we're like, oh, we've got engaged, oh, by the way, we're also moving, see you in a few months kind of thing. And that all happened very quickly. So we came back and made the decision to get married before we went. We were originally thinking we'd go away, come back and have a wedding then, because we had 5 weeks to organise it all. And then we were like, let's just do it, because I think we knew we might not otherwise, or we might have maybe a legal ceremony and then do something later. And we were kind of baffled as to how to do that. So we organised a wedding in 5 weeks and then said goodbye to everyone and then moved to the other side of the world. So it felt a little bit rushed, I think, how it all happened. But it was something we talked about quite a bit. But I suppose at the time it felt like with you guys, you'd kind of talked about it for a lot longer before then, and nobody else had really kind of entertained the idea that they were going anywhere. We had lots of friends who were coming back from places, and it felt like a phase where lots of people had already gone and were coming back home, and we were kind of on the end of that, doing like the opposite almost. But yeah, I do remember having conversations with people at that time where everyone felt like, I guess we were mid-20s, everyone was quite settled in their work, in their home life, people were buying houses and starting to settle down, and it did feel very much like we were uprooting everything and just throwing caution to the wind and going for it anyway.
And so from Indiana you moved to Utah. How long were you in Indiana for?
Yes, so we first moved to Indiana and we were there for a year, and then we very quickly knew we didn't want to stay there, but thought we'd give the US more of a go somewhere different. So I think from probably fairly early on, we were open to other opportunities, and then Kim was looking for other work and got another opportunity to move to Utah. So it was a year after, just under, it was almost exactly a year, but not quite. So we moved. This makes my life sound so chaotic. It isn't. We moved to the Salt Lake City, and I remember we packed all our stuff up, got like a U-Haul van, did the very American thing, drove across the whole of America pretty much, not entirely, because it's like from one slightly, it's not from coast to coast, but it was a good substantial portion. It was 2 days of driving, put our cats in the car.
I still can't believe you did that.
Trained our cats to go in the car for this such a long amount of time, and it was 2 days straight driving. We moved to Salt Lake, put all our stuff down for like, we found a house like in 2 days, put all our stuff in it, our cats in it, got one sofa, and then flew back to the UK for 2 weeks for a friend's wedding, and then came home to Salt Lake City, our new home, where having lived there for about 3 days, and then started again. And then we were there for about 2.5 years before we moved again. But it does feel like sometimes when we do things, we just do everything all at once.
Yeah, you are all or nothing, I think, you and Kim.
Sometimes, yes. It seems to come about like that. I think often we make a decision and I'm more impatient and go, right, we've decided we're going to do this, let's go and do it. Why are we waiting?
And so, spoiler alert, I know the move to Dublin was also a career move. Yes. But was there anywhere else in the world that you were considering, or was that kind of where your heart was set?
No, not at all. It's what's bizarre to me is we'd talked about moving somewhere, and nowhere ever had I considered living in the US or Ireland at any point in my life until they kind of happened, really. And that sounds horribly privileged and horribly, I'm very aware how fortunate we are to move and be able to live in different places, but the fact that it was just kind of like, oh yeah, we can go live here, that would be great, without any real planning or consideration of, is that the one we're going to pick? And I suppose when we were in Salt Lake, we really, really were enjoying it, having a great time. And a job opportunity came up again. Kim went for an interview, and at this point we'd just had our first child. So we had a 5-week-old baby, I think he was, and Kim flew to the other side of the world for a job interview for a couple of nights, which was, I think, the first time I'd had solo parenting. So that was a whole shock to the system. And he didn't get that job, but he did very well. And then about a year later, the same university had another job in the same department. It was slightly different. And he interviewed for that one again. And we were fairly certain that if he went for it and got an interview, he would have a high chance of getting that job offer. And he did. And we, so I guess we'd been thinking about maybe moving to Ireland for about a year before then. And that was very much, it would be closer to home. But we looked at moving back to the UK. We also looked at Canada, New Zealand, and a couple of other different places. So we'd got to the point that we decided we weren't going to stay in the US and that we wanted to go somewhere else. I wanted to go closer to home, which was England, or we were considering New Zealand, which was his home. Ironically, where we were in the US in Salt Lake City and Utah was pretty much halfway in between both our families at the time, which is really sad because it's still miles away from anywhere. And having children, we felt like we wanted to be closer to friends and family. And so Dublin felt like a really good move for that because it's like a 40-minute flight from England and feels like it's much closer, even though there's still a very large sea and it's still an entirely different country.
Yeah,
that's where that came from.
I think that's one of the things of speaking to you, you and Kim both, since you moved to Dublin, I think it's maybe surprised you and it surprised me at just how different your experiences have been there. And I think we were saying last night, you know, because it's so close to England and so close to the UK, obviously physically bordering Northern Ireland, I guess I certainly wrongly made assumptions that it would be very similar, but that's not been the case, has it?
It's interesting. I mean, particularly in current political climate, it's quite bizarre for me because when we moved there, we moved straight from the US. We didn't go to England first. So we'd been living in the US for 2 years at that point. And I think we'd visited England maybe a year before, moved straight to Dublin. And it was almost for me like coming home, but not. It was kind of, some things were familiar because it looked more like what I was used to growing up to. So more single-story buildings, narrow-laned roads, like everyone's driving on the left-hand side of the road again, and lots of things like that were very familiar, but it was also very different. And it was kind of a very strange adjustment, I suppose, because when we moved to the US and moved across the US, we knew we were clearly in a very different country because it was very obviously, it looked different and felt different. The accent's different, but it was a real, I don't even know if it's a cultural thing. So in the US, people would say to me, sounds horribly cliche, but it happens all the time. Oh, you're English. You've got an English accent. Where in England do you live from? And it was a very positive reception and people liked talking to me for my accent. Would, you know, some of the cliches of, do you live near London and all those kind of things. And that was very comfortable, familiar terrain of being able to have a kind of conversation and use that to my advantage to some extent, being able to make friends and chat to people. In Ireland, it's almost the exact opposite. It's quite a negative thing to be English due to some of the history and the political context. And I'm much more aware of people recognising my accent and that being a negative thing. And it's a completely different type of conversation and quite different to feeling settled in, obviously. Accents are different, terminology is different, things like all the shops are different, you don't recognise things. But then there would be a few things that are the same. So it'd be like, oh, I recognise that, but then all the supermarkets are different. But the food's the same and things like that. And it's been quite a strange adjustment because it's almost like being home, but not. But then remembering to myself that, well, this is a different country, this is a different place. It's almost like we downplay that wasn't an international move, it was a move back, even though it's not. And there's been lots of things that's quite new about it and unique, which has been really fun to learn and kind of explore. But it also, I think often you kind of get in the danger of comparison, and it's not like for like you can't compare two countries to each other, really. You can kind of look at some similarities and differences, but it just is what it is, and you kind of just have to take it with a grain of salt and jump in and be completely open to what's around you and not kind of think, oh, this was like this here, or I'm going to compare this, or I miss these bits or whatever. But I think that's a bit of a mindset as well, to just embrace what you're in. And I found that probably in the US as well, but definitely where I am in Ireland, I still have moments where I'm like, where am I? Where do I live? What country am I in now? Which is quite strange.
I think people quite like to romanticize Ireland, don't they, and Dublin, and it has
absolutely
a history and literature and poetry, and it's just one of those places where I think a lot of people are like, oh, I'd love to live in Ireland, I'd love to visit Ireland, particularly I find Americans
absolutely
are very enamored by the idea of it. Is there anything when you first moved there that kind of surprised you that you weren't expecting?
I guess it surprised me how I changed in my perspective, in my feelings and my thoughts, particularly things about moving. Like before I moved to the US, firstly, I don't know if I would have identified myself as European. I would have said I'm British. And then I think being in the US, it became apparent I started to say, yes, I'm European, that's where I'm from. And then going to Ireland, which it's very much in terms of I now meet other people. I meet lots of other British people. I meet other European people, quite a lot of American people who are now in Ireland, who I now have a lot more shared interest with. And my kind of perspective on how you can kind of move to different places and how, I suppose, focusing on people's similarities rather than, oh, I'm from this one country, or how I kind of think about how I identify myself, that had changed quite a lot.
So is there anything in particular that you've really missed from your life in England?
Oh, I've missed so many things from my life in England. That's probably been the hardest adjustment by far. You sort of live this dual life where you're in your new surroundings, you're settling in, you're meeting new people, you're making a new life, but you sort of pine after your old life, and I think you often can get a bit stuck in remembering it, not falsely, but romanticising what your life was like, and you remember the great things, and it's hard sometimes not to get stuck there and to compare and to think, why do I not have this in my life now, and be stuck in that present moment. I absolutely miss friends and family and not being able to see people as often as I like. That's definitely been the hardest thing for me. And like I feel I'm so grounded in my surroundings. So having grown up in the beautiful Cotswolds, I lived in Oxford for 10 years. I missed those buildings. I missed that sense of culture and history and that sense of place that you kind of, I think you get from when you visit your hometown, somewhere you've known your whole life, that's very familiar to you. I find that very grounding. Places I went as a child with my grandparents, for example, I'd like to take my own children to, and those kind of memories, I really, really miss those. And that's been difficult. That was definitely an adjustment. And I think my first year moving away was by far the hardest of kind of rebuilding your life. And it was almost felt like you are, or for me anyway, unfolding from your old life almost, and kind of, I guess, kind of disattaching from it a little bit so that you can go forward into your existing life. And it kind of very, for us, it happened so quickly. It very much went from, for me, working full time. I think I finished my last day at my work I was doing then before we moved to the US, and had a long weekend, and then flew to the US and was like, I'm here, new life, let's start. And that was peculiar because I'd gone from rushing around, doing a very busy full-time job, being involved in a hockey club where I was coaching, had a huge, brilliant friendship group, a really great home friendship group, loving the city we lived in, to suddenly being in this brand new place where I didn't know a single soul, I didn't know where I was, I didn't know anything about the surrounding area, and was just like, what have we done? Where am I? And I think I was there for a week, and then Kim actually left for a conference for 2 weeks. And so I was just there with my cat. I don't think we even had furniture at this point. We had like a mattress on the floor. We got a car just before he left so that I could actually go and leave the house. So where we lived, there wasn't always And so this is also what I find strange. I was about to say pavements, which is an American terminology, not paths. We didn't have paths and pavements on all the roads. So you physically could not walk to different places. You had to drive. And that was such a huge culture shock that I kind of missed being able to know where to go. Where do I go for a walk? Because I didn't know anywhere. What do I eat? Because I don't know the supermarkets. I don't know what food I want to cook. And that was yeah, a hard adjustment. And it was very much like, it's very obvious all these things you miss when you don't have them. And that definitely took a lot of time to rebuild our new life. And we kind of went into it thinking anywhere you go, it takes at least 6 months to a year to feel settled and to feel grounded where you are and happy and to make friends. Like, friendships take time and investment. You can't just get one instantly. And I knew that, but it doesn't make it any easier on those sort of days when you've got Monday to Friday. What shall I do with my time? So when we first moved, I wasn't allowed to work for the first 7 months, based on the visas we were on. And I know you've been through similar experiences of going through that process of being allowed to work in the US. So that was, what shall I do with my time? I still am just finishing off a PhD. So I was studying and able to occupy myself with that. But it was a huge shift. And it was very much, where is my entire support network gone? You can Skype people, you can message them. And I think this was before WhatsApp, I guess, had really become a thing. So it was very much, you could pay for like a Skype membership to ring people unlimited for a month. But that was really hard to just kind of find a rhythm to still connect with people, particularly friends and family. And I still miss them hugely, even though I'm now geographically closer. I still don't get to see them as often. And you miss like the mundane, the kind of, how's your day been? What did you do at work? Which person annoyed you today? Which gym class are you going to later? And all that kind of stuff that people don't really update you on because it seems really mundane and not exciting news. People don't update you on those. It's just part of your life. But if you don't have that context, it's really difficult to build conversations to some extent, because then you kind of lack context of being like, so what have you filled your time with? What have you done over X amount of time since I've seen or spoke to you? And that's quite difficult, and it's still something that I struggle with in terms of sort of missing people. And you know, you can kind of get used to different foods and different places and different things become familiar, but for me it's very much the people, and rebuilding that has really been a challenge. And yeah, it's hard.
It's really hard. Yeah, it's definitely one of the hardest things. I think I was like you when we moved here. I just accepted making friends and pursuing friendships was going to have to be something very organic and just let it take its time. Some people I think are great at networking and like going to lots of different events and kind of identifying maybe who they want kind of as a friend. But I had to let it run its course. And it's all worked out for the good now. And I know it has for you as well. But yeah, it's definitely tough when you're in a new environment. And to pivot slightly, what do you love about living in Dublin or perhaps from your time in the US?
Oh, I love so much of it. I love the opportunity. I love the fact that we feel like we're on a huge adventure. And that my sense of adventure has completely widened, that it's very much, let's go do this. Let's try something new. And like, definitely we're much better at just kind of thinking, right, let's go explore. What place have we not been to? What thing have we not done yet? And we're much better at just saying, yep, let's go do that. Let's go jump in the car and do something different. We tend to make a seasonal list of things to go visit so that we'll do some research, think these are interesting places. Over the next 3 months, we'll make an effort when we've got some time. That's what we'll go do. And I think I'm definitely much keener to sort of jump in and do new things that I maybe wouldn't have done before. I think I love how it broadens your mind on so many things. Like it feels like we've had so many more interesting experiences, have seen so many different things, have met so many different people from all walks of life that I wouldn't have come across otherwise. And there's a huge amount of it that is so beneficial. I mean, it has to be to outweigh missing all your family and friends. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it. Certainly for us, we're a very global family. My children are both born in different countries. Both myself and my husband are born in different countries. We all have a whole range of different passports. So there's something quite exciting about that, of being, it feels a very modern global family setup that we're able to do that. I feel that's not something that would have happened much, even maybe 50 years ago. And that's quite exciting to be able to have the freedom to go to different places and to know that we could set our life up anywhere if we chose to. And it's something I notice in the way I speak about living in Dublin now, that I suppose I still don't feel 100% settled there, because I still talk about Dublin as where I live now, as if we might move again, because we might do, we might not. And for me, it's really exciting to meet new friendships, even though it takes a lot of time and energy and investment to get to the point that you have good friendships. I really love that I've had that opportunity to broaden your friendship groups. I think otherwise it's very easy to be friends with the people you work with, the people you maybe went to school with, or like you have similar hobbies. That being said, I think my life now is completely different to when I first originally moved, and even a few years ago. And I think that's probably having a family changes that quite a bit. Like my life looks quite different now, and I don't necessarily think that's down to where we live. That's just another part of the puzzle and part of the equation, I suppose.
You know, you've had 2 children now. You have a 1-year-old and an almost 3-year-old. And I was just wondering how parenting and being pregnant while living abroad has been different for you, or what that experience has been like compared to what you thought it would be like.
On the whole, I think being pregnant wherever you are is really positive. People are very positive towards you. Both places, both in Salt Lake City and in Dublin, are, I guess, very baby friendly. It's very family friendly. There's lots of other people going through a similar experience. So on that side of things, it was really great that I got to meet lots of different people. It wasn't like it was unusual. That being said, I'm still so sad I haven't got to experience the amazing NCT, which you get in England, that everyone tells me about. You must get on an NCT course, you must meet these people. And I've yet to experience that, because that's not in either country. So it's that kind of constant, not that you're missing out, but that it would have been different if you'd been somewhere else. Like my family was never how I thought it would happen. I never thought I'd be pregnant abroad and have children not with my friends and family at home, or not being at home. And that's been, I suppose, maybe more of an adjustment for my own mind and how that's kind of happened. I guess I kind of envisioned, I don't know, sitting on the sofa with a cup of tea on my bump and some sweets around me, and like seeing people every week, and they'd be like, oh, look how much you've grown or whatever. And I didn't really get that. But I'm not sure I would have done anyway, because I think that's fantasy world. And you can often get stuck in fantasy world and think about, I've seen this on TV and movies, this is how it'll unfold. And it's not what happens in reality. And yeah, it's been fascinating going through that process. I think I've been very lucky in that we are in a fortunate position to have good healthcare in the US. It could have been very, very different had we lived in a different place, or not had a job that provided us that experience, I suppose. And it made me become very aware of how important healthcare is, how different it can be for different people. But there's definitely something in... Now it's taken a little while to get to the point that I cherish that my children are born in different places. I also am terrified that when they're older, they're all going to live in different places and be completely dispersed globally around the world, because they've had that right from the beginning, I suppose. Like, they're both born in different countries. They both have triple nationalities, that will all be all over the place when they're older. And how, in reality, what does that look like, having a global family? And that's something that I guess I never considered would even be something that I even needed to think about and kind of think of the possibilities of that. It always leaves the question open of where, as a family, should we be? Because we will always be away from our family, because our families live on the opposite sides of the world. where will they grow up? How can we make sure they see like their grandparents? How can we make sure they see family? And that's always going to be something that I think will be difficult and challenging.
Okay, I think one of the things I admire about you and Kim and your parenting style is that you made it over to see us on a couple of occasions. You're here right now with two little babies. I know that you've been kind of back and forth from Dublin to England, and I just think it's worth saying how admirable that is, because like, planes make me cranky, travel is hard work, jet lag is really tough, so to juggle that yourselves and two tiny humans that you want to keep alive and safe and
yes,
you know, try and get them into like routines when they land, it's really quite impressive, I think.
Thank you. Or very foolish, I'm not sure which sometimes. It's been good. Thank you. No, it's hard, but I think it's like with anything, there's always another layer. It's always more harder. You have to think about it more, whether that's traveling with children, traveling full stop, moving somewhere different. It takes more effort, it takes more energy, but you know, everyone kind of tells you when you have children, your entire life changes and you won't be able to do the same lifestyle and do the same things, which to some extent is completely true because everything turns itself on its head. At the same time, if you want a particular lifestyle, if you want to do particular things, you can do them. It just takes so much more energy, effort, time, money, you know, whatever that might be, you can do it. It's just whether or not it's worth it. I think it's really good for them to see the world. Like, they both already have stamps in their passport. Both of them have already been to so many places that, you know, it's on people's bucket list kind of thing, which I'm really proud of as a parent that they've been able to experience that. And it's that strange thing that I know they probably won't even remember most of it because they're so young, but I think it probably does build into the layers of who you are, and when they're older it will just build upon that, that they are already well traveled, that they already can see the world in a certain way where they are hopefully accepting and kind and see more similarities and how great different things can be, and that they're not scared to go traveling and they're not scared to do something different. And it's been really good, I think, to start installing. I'm just hoping we don't instill it so much that they're off adventuring who knows where. It is hard traveling with small people, and it's like practicalities of like, you can't sit them in front of Paw Patrol for 10 minutes to have a shower because you don't have a TV, so you just all shower together, or you just don't bother showering and that's fine. And you know, it's things like that, and it's trying to explain to them why they're having a different bed every couple of days, or why they don't have their toys to play with. But essentially, as long as they have us and as long as they have some food, they're pretty happy. And it's quite nice to see how little things you actually need as a family and as people to be happy and to kind of do your day-to-day life. That being said, I think we also know this isn't reality. This isn't our everyday, because we've been away for about a month now. And it's great. Like, normally at home, I would do one thing in a day because that's enough, because then they're all cranky and tired because they've had too many experiences and they just need to go home and go to bed. And we're doing easily 2 to 3 things a day. So they're pretty exhausted. Their minds are on complete overdrive because they've seen so many things and having to settle. But it's also really nice to kind of break from the everyday of not thinking, what should we do today, children? Shall we go to the museum? Shall we go to this play park? And that's been really refreshing. It's been really nice to see how our lives can function in a different format. Yeah, it's hard work though.
It looks like it.
It is.
It really looks like it. I commend you.
It's good fun, but it is hard work.
So if you could give anybody moving abroad a piece of advice, anyone listening to this who's thinking about going for it, what would you say?
Oh, just go for it. What have you got to lose? And that's from the very beginning when we first moved, I knew we were lucky enough to be able to say, we'll just do it. If we hate it, if it's not going well, it's okay, we'll come home again. And I accept for quite a lot of people that might not be an option, and we're very lucky to have that. But I think when you're able to just just say, why not? What's the worst that can happen? How bad can it really go? And just get on with it. It's very freeing and you can just experience it and just try it. At least then you know you've tried. And if it wasn't for you, you can change something.
You mentioned earlier that you loved what moving abroad has kind of done for you in terms of opening horizons and the opportunities that it's presented you. And I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit about what the freedom to move or the concept of immigration means to you.
Absolutely. It's evolved for me. I think that comes down to being a global family, to having had children in different countries. And the idea that we are freely able to move is amazing. Like the concept that we can go live in another country, work there, build a life there without any real fear of being kicked out, I suppose, or not being allowed in, or and having that freedom to be part of a community, to kind of get involved with that place, is something that I think is hugely exciting and important, and something that I feel very privileged to be able to do that. And I guess the idea, I think we live in a very global world. It's so easy to connect with people regardless of where they are, that it's very interesting to kind of look at the idea of where you can be, that it almost doesn't matter. Like you can have a greater community, and it's very much, you know, you can build that how you want it. And being lucky enough to have technology to help with that, I think that's made such a huge difference, to be able to have a very wide global community that might be, you know, use a lot of WhatsApp or Skype or whatever to actually speak to people. You might not get to see them face to face very often, but you can still have that community over a much greater distance. Being able to be privileged and lucky enough to work wherever we choose and to take those opportunities. But I feel so, so lucky that we can even do that. It doesn't even occur to me of thinking, oh, where can my passport take me? And I know that, you know, there's some people who may not even have a passport. My mum was like, oh, my passport expired, I don't know, a year or two ago. And I'm like, how can you not have renewed that? Because surely you might want to go jump on a plane and go somewhere. And like, to be able to even do that is kind of crazy in many sense. To be able to say, I'll go here, if it doesn't work out, I'll go home again. Like, that is something really important, that you can just say, oh, no, thanks, it's not working for me, I'll change it, or I'll go somewhere else. And being able to, you know, to stop sticks and start a new life somewhere, it's quite amazing, really.
It really is.
It's quite terrifying too, but it's amazing. I didn't really answer your question.
I think it did, and I think that's an excellent place to end. Thanks so much for joining me, Leonie.
Thank you. I've had a lovely time.
Have safe travel back.
Thanks for listening to Non-Native. If you like what you heard, subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at ShipshapeBF, or over on my blog, shipshapeinbristolfashion.com.